Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message that I'll be sharing with you today is entitled Transforming Freedom. Jesus sets us free so that we can live free. The freedom we experience in Christ gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to transform our lives more into the likeness of Christ as we yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. The freedom believers ought to experience is a transforming freedom. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Last few weeks have been sharing on the theme of freedom. John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And there are people who love Jesus, serve Him, but they aren't free. And I don't think that should be. Jesus clearly says here that if the Son makes you free, if I'm making you free, you should be free. So there are people, again, who love Jesus, not walking in freedom, though. And today I just want to encourage you to let the Lord challenge you this morning. Let Him examine your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit just to search your heart. Are you walking in freedom as a believer? Galatians 5:1, Paul writes this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging this church to press on past everyday hindrances. You know, we're all going to have struggles with the flesh. We're all going to have things we encounter that can bind us up, slow us down. But we got to move past those things, amen? We have to move closer and towards Jesus. And that's where we find greater freedom is in that relationship with Him. So are you free and are you living free? Last Sunday, I spoke to you on the subject of letting go. And if we're going to experience freedom, freedom through Christ, you're going to experience things in this life that will come against that freedom, and you'll have issues in this life. You'll have encounters with people that'll just drive you nuts. You'll encounter all kinds of things in this life that will cause you to just want to have a depth rip on things. But, you know, holding on to stuff is never good, is it? Holding on to things, getting bitter, getting all worked up about them is never good. So we have to learn to let some things go, and that's where we have freedom. In last week's message, we used the example of Joseph. And Joseph, my goodness, he could have held on to a lot of stuff. Take some time and just remember his story, how he could have had resentment towards God. He really could have. You know, we sometimes this happens. People experience life, and God, where are you back? Where were you? Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to endure this? Sometimes it's horrific things, and people can get this resentment towards God. Joseph could have been the same. Joseph could have had bitterness towards his brother. But at the end of the story, we see that what grace and mercy he has. Joseph could have been very vengeful towards Potiphar's wife, who falsely accuses him of attempting rape. You know, Joseph could have lost all hope while in prison. And in prison, falsely in prison for a crime he didn't commit. I mean, right there, some people just give up and just say, you know what, I'm just done with this God business. And so Joseph, just he's letting go of stuff. He never gets a hold of him. We see this throughout his life because God continually gives him favor. God continually works in his life. Some of us are like Joseph. We've been through some stuff. But just remember, you got to learn to let stuff go. And that is a challenge, isn't it? It is a challenge for every person in here. It's not easy. I pray that last week I was not trying to make it like it's just all easy, because it's not. It's hard to let stuff go. But the more we let stuff go, the more we're going to find freedom. And I don't know about you, I want more freedom in my life. See, because in freedom, when we find greater freedom, that's when the Holy Spirit can transform our lives. Because that's what's really freedom. That's what freedom, spiritual freedom, is all about. It's all about God changing our lives, God transforming our lives. You know, Jesus sets us free at new birth. Thank God for that, amen? Thank God we are set free from our past. We're set free from our guilt, our shame. Jesus sets us free at new birth. Jesus then gives us the Holy Spirit, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us. He lives in us. He dwells in us. If you're born again, every person has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then enables us to walk in freedom. Walking in freedom then gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to transform our lives. And He transforms our lives more into the likeness of Jesus, and that's for the glory of God. So hopefully this is what I really wanted to get to throughout the whole series. I really wanted to get to this message. This is what freedom is all about. Freedom is all about being more like Jesus. It's not freedom to be more like you want to be and still go to heaven. That's not freedom. That's not true freedom. that will put you in a very bad place. But true freedom is this, freedom to be more like Jesus. And thank God, it's not all by works, it's not by ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit comes together, partners with us, empowers us, and enables us to be more like Jesus. Here's a great example. Man, I love this verse. If you listen to me in about a month preaching, I'll bring this verse into it. Because I just think that in our community, this has to be a continual theme. And I don't care if you get tired of hearing me preaching or not, I'm going to keep on preaching it. But 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And some people say, yep, they're all going to hell right there. And celebrate that. I would never celebrate anybody going to hell, would you? I mean, that's not a place where anybody should go. Some people revel in that. But that's where some people stop short. But we got to keep going on. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. And such were some of me. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit. Transforming power, isn't it? You see that in lives that Paul was ministering. People who struggle with the flesh. People who are in bondage to sin. But Jesus miraculously changes their life. The Holy Spirit empowers and enables them. And that's the freedom we want. Amen? It's the freedom to become more like Jesus and less like ourselves, our fallen selves. Listen, when people who were once bound by sin experience forgiveness, it's an incredible thing. When they really understand freedom and forgiveness. You know, there's so many of us, we've been in church all our lives, and thank God for that. But it's a two-edged sword. Can I tell you that? It's a two-edged sword. Because sometimes when people go through life, they experience stuff, and they receive forgiveness, and they truly walk in freedom. It's something that's fantastic. But for some of you, it's different issues. People who have been set free from addictions and from drugs, from alcohol, from whatever lifestyle they lived. I mean, it's sometimes a dramatic change. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't have more work to do on them. It just means sometimes that dramatic change just overwhelms you. You're like, wow, that person even looks different. You know, for me, when I got saved, things changed. The way I looked changed. Obviously, the way I acted changed and still is changing. God's still working on me. I'm not there yet. But even my political views changed. You know, it's amazing how the script was just flipped. I was changed. I was a different person. And that's what Paul is talking about here. People who have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that should be every one of us. That should be our desire. Not religion, not just coming to church playing like everything's fine. To be challenged and to be changed by the Spirit of God. Last week, the message, we focused on Joseph. And again, his story was just letting things go. And this week, I want to do this. We're going to fast forward now 400 years. And we're going to focus on the Exodus. So I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 and 11. And then later on, we're going to be in Galatians. So Exodus chapter 1. Verse 8 says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. You know, they multiplied greatly in Egypt. Verse 10, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built up built for Pharaoh supply cities of Phidom and Ramses. This is an incredible story. Joseph, when he was alive, that generation that was alive, that had favor with the Pharaoh, they've moved on. They've died. And as we read through this story, we're going to read from the time Joseph lived and the time of the Exodus. There's 400 years that takes place in between this. 400 years the Jews live in Egypt. And once the Pharaoh who gives them favor dies, then that favor begins to wane. That favor is gone, and then they are an enslaved people. So once Joseph and this Pharaoh are out of the way, the Egyptians, they enslave the Hebrews. So the Old Testament is full. It's full of types. It's full of shadows. When I read throughout the Old Testament especially, I just love seeing those pictures, the foreshadowings that take place. Give you a couple examples. when we look at the Old Testament, we read this story especially. You know, the Israelites being in bondage as slaves is really a type and shadow, foreshadowing our bondage and sin. You know, before we came to Jesus, we're in bondage to sin. We're in bondage to the sinful nature. It doesn't matter what, if you grew up in church, if your mom and dad were Christians, you were still in bondage. You're still in bondage. Egypt is a type of the world. Moses is a type of Messiah. He comes and delivers Israel out of their bondage and into freedom. Moses leading the people to greater freedom is simply, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit then leading us to greater freedom. The Passover, boy, if you look at that story, it foreshadows the crucifixion. Israel passing through the Red Sea, Paul even talks about this in Corinthians, it represents their baptism. There's just all these types and shadows that take place in the Old Testament, especially in this story. And so Israel moving towards the promised land, out of bondage into freedom. That's the picture I want you to see here this morning. It's because as we walk with Jesus, there should be greater freedom in our lives. Remember, it's not freedom to do what we want, still go to heaven. It's freedom to become more like Jesus. So for time's sake, let's do this. Let's pass all the plagues of Egypt. Let's go past all the supernatural events that took place in that time. You know, the pillar of fire by day or by night, the cloud by day as God led the Israelites through the desert. God supernaturally providing water from a rock. I'll get it out of my mouth here in a second. God supernaturally providing quail and manna. I mean, meat and bread. Don't get any better than that. Let's go past Moses sending the 12 spies into the promised land. Even past the two Hebrews, past Joshua and Caleb, who bring back a good report. Let's focus on the 10 who brought back a negative report, and let's look at the reaction of the people, because that's what we need to see. I think that's the picture where many of us are today in our walk with Jesus. We've been set free, but we don't have the freedom that we should. And I think this story is a perfect illustration of that. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Remember, this is after the bad report. Two have brought a good report. They spied the land. 10 have brought back a bad report. This is how they reacted upon hearing the bad report. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, here it is, check this out. If only we had died in the land of Egypt. Boy, have you ever said some stupid stuff before? That's dumb. I mean, why would you want to die in slavery? If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? That church, that's the words of people who are free that are not living free. That is the word of people who have been set free, but they are not living free. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Man, the hearts and minds, they're still bound. They're physically set free. Physically, they can go where they want. But spiritually, mentally, emotionally, they are bound. They are still stuck in Egypt. These people are free, but they're not living. Imagine this. They've endured 400 years of slavery, 400 years. And all along they've heard these stories of how God promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for over 400 years now. And suddenly God miraculously, supernaturally delivers them from Egypt, out of slavery. They're having all these miracles, and they get to this place where they're just outside of the promised land. Moses sends in the spies. The spies come back, two got a good report, 10 have a bad report. You know, 10's got to be right over 2, right? That's how we would see it. And the 10 say this, the land is full of giants. We can't whip them. The land is full of walled cities. They're defended. Yes, the land is good, but there are all these obstacles. Now, for you and I, we would say, who cares? Do you not know where you just came from? Do you not know what you've just experienced? Is not the God who's brought you this far can take you further? But can I tell you this? This happens to us. This happens so many times in the church. This happens to people who aren't here right now. People who are free, but they're not living free. And then they're not living free and they're not living right. You know what the first thing people do? Cut out church. They do. You know that. If you've served God for any amount of years, if you've served God for 10 years, you know the first thing that drops off the radar screen is going to church. You know why? Feel convicted. You know, people say this, where you been? They mean well, right? Where you been? We've missed you. I'm not saying this happens in every case, so if you've missed a little bit, I'm not saying that's you, don't worry. But if I could gather up everybody in the 6 years that I've been here and just get them in church, we'd fill this church up, just with the folks who have been here. And there's times where I feel like, man, I need to go babysit people, but I'm not a good babysitter. I'm just not. Do we have to park the whiskers to put in the bottle? All right, that doesn't mean if you have a beard, you're the one I'm talking about. You can have a, I don't know how to explain that. See, if you aren't living free, often you'll see obstacles. You'll see obstacles. You won't see God-ordained purpose. See, when you're not living free, you're not walking free, you'll see obstacles, and they are obstacles. But if you have the right filter, if you have the right position, if you have the right attitude, if you have the right perspective, you don't see those as obstacles, you see those as opportunities. Listen, God destroyed certain things in Egypt. He took care of certain situations. This is nothing. This is nothing. But the same people looking at the same problems, Joshua and Caleb looking at the same problems, they said, no, this is no problem for God. Our God can take it. If he's brought us this far, he's not going to drop us off in the middle of nowhere just so we die. It's not going to have. He's not going to bring this far that we give up, we go back to Egypt. But that's exactly what people do. Not living right for God. They fall off the map, or things are just going bad. They get off. They veer off course. And what happens is this. We begin to embrace Egypt in our lives. See, every one of us, you have Egypt in you. You know what I'm saying when I'm talking about that? You have bondage still. You still have flesh. You still have the old man's in you. And you got to put it to death daily. But if you're like me, sometimes the old man just wants to live a whole lot. And so what happens is this, when he wants to live a whole lot, and then you engage the old man, and you give the old man power, you begin to get convicted. Because you know this, sometimes there's some people you can get around, their radar goes off. You know what I'm saying? They know you've not been living right, and you don't want to get around those people. Have you ever had that happen to you? There are certain people I don't want to see because they're going to bust me out. They're going to know by my attitude. They're going to know by my behavior. And my wife is one. I just want to avoid her sometimes because she's going to read my mail. And that's not comforting. It's not comfortable. Listen, because their hearts and minds, they were still in Egypt. The Israelites were still in, they were free, but they were still in Egypt. And again, there are people in the body of Christ enslaved to Egypt. And this should not be, church. Look at Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Someone needs to hear that today. Someone needs to get that into their spirit today. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out to Father, Father God. You know, if Jesus sets you free and you're born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. You are a son and daughter of God. It doesn't matter what church, what denomination you belong to. If you are born again, you are a son or a daughter of God. Galatians 4, 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Sons and daughters, you are heirs of God. You will not believe this. This is most of our problem right here. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We read these verses. We know what they are saying to us, but we don't really get them here. We don't really get them here. We don't really get them here. Sometimes we even get them here, but we don't get them here. And you've got to get it here. You know, there's a big difference between here and here, right? Yeah. Knowing this fact in your knower, knowing it in your knower, who you are in Christ is crucial to you walking in freedom. I'm not talking about, again, knowing about it. I'm talking about knowing it. Church, it's not just talk about freedom. It's just about experiencing freedom. It's not about, and freedom, again, is not this how much sin, how much things we can do in the flesh and still go to heaven. That's not freedom. And listen, there are churches that sell that from their pulpits. And I'm telling you what, there's going to be a day of reckoning for that. You can't do that. You can't set that bar so low that you are going to cause people to fall. It's for freedom to be, it's free. The freedom we experience is to be the sons and daughters of God. To be the sons of daughters of God in Christ Jesus. See, we must transition, every one of us, from slave to sons, from slaves to daughters. We have to do that or we will not walk in freedom. See, again, the Hebrews, they were free. The Egyptians that were in their rearview window, the ones that drowned in the sea, they're not coming back. They're not going to chase them down. They saw them physically drowned in the sea. They're not coming back. That Pharaoh is not coming back for them. So all they have before them is desert. And they're getting through the desert, led by the Spirit of God. They're being fed in the desert. They're being taken care of in the desert. All they've got to get to is to the promised land and then take the land, which is already having a victory. There's already a W on the board for them. They're already in the Super Bowl. But they can't do it because they're still slaves. See, slaves can't take the country. Slaves can't take the promised land. They can't. It's impossible for them. See, we've got to transition from slave to sons, from slaves to daughters. And they didn't make that transition, church. They didn't make that transition. They were not transformed. And you see that in 10 of them. 10 of them say this, we're still slaves. We can't defeat these people. We can't take this land. It's too great for us. There's no way we can do it. I don't care who God's been, how big he is, what he's done for us. This is impossible. The other two, Joshua and Caleb, they're like, this is nothing. Same land. Joshua and Caleb does not deny the problems. Have you ever read the story? They don't deny there's giants. They don't deny there's walled cities. They don't deny that there are obstacles. They see the same thing. It's just they have a different perspective. That different perspective is the difference. Some of us don't have the right perspective. When we face things, we face them as a slave rather than a son, rather than a daughter. The only difference between these two groups is their faith perspective. Who am I in Christ? What has God... Am I really a son and daughter of God? If you have children, if you have grandchildren, sometimes, we should get this the best in our nation. We don't allow our kids to fail when they need to fail. Okay? We want to protect them always. And to our fault, because I think we're creating a generation of too much entitlement. But there are times you're going to let your kids fail and it's not going to kill them. And it's good. So what I'm saying is this. Why can't we adopt this thinking into our spirit and get that same perspective? This is what God sees. Listen, if God's example is love is far greater than the best father in here and the best mother in here. Will God really allow you to go through things, go through Egypt, go through the desert, and just to drop you off and say, here you go? It's all you, buddy, to leave you and forsake you there? No, no. Look at Numbers 13:33. This is what the 10 said. This is what the 10 said in regards to the promised land. The land they just spied out, this is what they said to Moses, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You know what? This is such a powerful verse. Because really, they weren't. If they would have the right perspective, they would not seem small in the sight of their enemy. See, this is the mindset that kept Israel in the desert 40 more years. This is what kept them wandering the desert for 40 more years. Some of us, we need to realize who we are in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty. Where is the Holy Spirit at? He's in us, right? If you're born again, he's in you. So shouldn't there be liberty? If there's not liberty, then there's a problem. And we got to be honest about this. See, this is what happens sometimes. We know that we're not experiencing liberty. We'll say, well, so are you. You're not experiencing it. And so is this person. Listen, just check yourself, right? Start with you. Get yourself off of everyone else. Get your focus. Just start with you. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, is there liberty? So there's two things that have to come, that we have to determine that. A, then we're not born again. Or B, we're just not walking in the liberty that we should. It's really, there's only two answers here. There's no third. The Holy Spirit is in you, there should be liberty, period. You either are born again or you're not. Let's keep on going. Look at this. Check this out. Verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, liberty to change. Liberty that allows the Holy Spirit to transform your lives. Liberty that allows the Holy Spirit to transform your life from glory to glory. That's a process. We should be in a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. When we don't see that, it's because there is no freedom. We've gotten off course somewhere. Something stopped us. We've encountered something. Can I tell you this? If you've been in church long enough, this is the veil. This is the veil that hinders transformation. It's one of the biggest ones. It's one of the biggest ones in our area. It's one of the biggest ones in our region. It's the veil of religion. It's the veil of religion. I'll give you an example of the veil of religion. Come to church, go through the motions, act like everything's okay when it's not, and not to say a peep. Some of us have no humility. We skip those verses in the Bible that says, confess your sins to one another. Well, I don't want them to know what I'm going through. I don't want them to. See, that's pride, and that's arrogance. And that's why you won't have freedom. I mean, that's really what this is just a great example. The more you hide it, the longer you hold it, the more dangerous it is. Pride is a veil. It's arrogance. It's dishonesty. It's complete dishonesty before God. See, well, we look at it this way. Well, it's a personal relationship with God. I don't have to go through those things. But again, what are you going to do with those verses that says confess your sins to one another? When that veil comes off, when we humble ourselves before God and we embrace the work of the Holy Spirit, that's when you find greater freedom. That's when, things have power in the dark. They just do. They have power in the dark. The more you hide stuff, the more it gets closer to being exposed. And it could be something small. It could be something so stupid. Just stupid. Like this. Like you have anger issues. Sometimes that is so embarrassing. You know why? Because you show it on such a front that you're embarrassed if it's all taken down. Who cares? If you want to see me get mad, stay around with me for a few minutes. You'll see me get mad. I just play a good part here on Sunday morning. But if you're with me the rest of the week, I get mad. I don't want anyone to feel like I'm preaching down to you. I'm not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But sometimes when we get into the flesh, we embrace Egypt. The Israelites escaped from Egypt. God delivered them from their captors. Think about this. I mean, this is a picture. It's a spiritual picture. They left Pharaoh. They left the bondages of Egypt. Their enemy was destroyed. Satan is defeated, church. Jesus has conquered it, triumphed over him through the cross. The war is won. The war is won. See, I don't think we really believe that. We'll say this now, but when reality hits us, when a sickness hits us, when a trial hits us, when we stumble, we don't have that same attitude then. The spies went into the land. Their attitude was revealed. What they really felt was when they were pressured, when they were stressed, it came out, we can't do it. There's no way we can do it. We were marching through all, they were singing songs about deliverance, right? Moses, the song of Moses. They were singing the song of deliverance, how the Egyptians were buried in the sea. Singing these songs, man, celebrating. But once they got to the promised land, they go in spies, they see walled cities, they see armies, they see people more. We can't do this. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's really when your freedom is going to be tested. That's really when you begin to see who you are in Christ, what you really feel about yourself. The mileage from Egypt to Israel, if you look at it, is less than 300 miles. It's less than 300 miles. The journey that they were taking from Egypt to Israel was the short route. Originally, you can kind of see this, they're going to go across. They get outside of the promised land, they camped out there. It would only take days, maybe weeks, to get to where all the people they had to get them to where they were going. So they're less than 300 miles away, but yet it takes them 40 years to get into their promise. Why? Because 400 years of slavery. That's why, 400 years of slavery. 4 days it took them to leave Egypt, right? To get out of Egypt, to pass through the Red Sea. 4 days, but it takes them 40 years to get Egypt out of them. It takes 40 years for Egypt to get out of their hearts and their minds. I got good news for you, church. It's not going to take you 40 years because some of you don't got 40 years. I don't know if I got 40 years. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to take 40 years to get this out of us. It takes about a moment to really do it. It really does. It really does. Will we just surrender our thoughts and our attitudes and just say, all right, God, you're much bigger than this situation. I'm making a mountain out of a molehill here. There's nothing too difficult for you. What hinders us the most from transforming and receiving freedom is us. It's not anyone else. It's not any situation. It's not any person. It's not the past. It's us. I hope you hear me, church. I'm not trying to project perfection. I'm not perfect. Again, if you're around me, when I get frustrated, I can be difficult to be around. When I get angry, I'll be rude. If I feel like you're taking advantage of me, I'll be very short with you. I'm just saying that may not be right. When stressed, when frustrated, I will find myself going back towards Egypt, just like anyone else. But unlike the Israelites, listen, I don't know about you, I'm not committed to going back to that. Galatians chapter 5. This is a great story. Galatians chapter 5 is a great story. Paul's addressing this very subject of spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. And this was a major issue in the church, in the early days of the church. People were trying to serve Jesus and serve the law. Couldn't do it. You couldn't go back into the law and you couldn't serve Jesus. They won't commingle together. You can't be under the law and under Christ. It just wouldn't work. And this was the major issue. The first council of the church, they had to clear up this matter. It's the first big, church meeting they had was over this issue. The issue was Gentiles coming into the church, people who were not under the law, people who were not circumcised, people who are non-Jewish. A Jewish brother would say, hey, listen, if you're going to come to Christ, you have to be circumcised. You have to come under the law. Then you can come to Christ. Paul says, no way. This is not what Jesus said to us. And the first council of the church says this. All right, they're to obey the apostles' teaching. I mean, they need to be born again, repent of their sins. But obey the teachings of the apostles. They need to abstain from sexual immorality. And that they need to abstain from idolatry. And this is what we were taught as Gentiles. The Jews had a hard time with it. The Jewish Christians had a very tough time with this. They couldn't embrace this. See, this is why Egypt was in them still. They couldn't embrace that freedom. They, in their minds, they had experienced all this religion. And in their experience, they had to stay bound to that religion. Look what Paul writes. This is what Paul... So that's the picture that Paul's writing to. This is the purpose why he's writing these statements right here in verse 5, or chapter 5. Look, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This one is religion. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Verse 3, and if I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So you can't just keep part, you got to keep the whole law. If you're going to go into the law, you got to keep it all. You can't just take parts of it. You'll run into people throughout this world. They want to keep parts of the law. But if you're going to do that, you got to keep all the law. I don't know about you, I'll choose grace. Amen. I'll choose not to be under the law. The law is our tutor. It shows us what sin is, but we're not bound by the law. Look at this, verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You've become divorced from Christ. You've been severed from Christ because you attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. You can't, Paul's saying this, you can't go back to the law. It'll cut you away from Christ. You can't do that. You found freedom. Why do you want to go back into the bondage of religion? Paul is admonishing these Christians. Jesus set you free. Don't get all tangled up and stuff. Don't get yourself all bound up and stuff again. Listen, if you're free, stuff don't just come on you. You allow yourselves to get tangled up in it. Don't go back to works of salvation, he's saying to this group. Egypt is in us. It's the sinful nature. And if we embrace it, it'll bring back a lot of familiar things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Familiar stuff. Listen, just ask a person who's been sober for 10 years, who falls off the wagon, what I'm talking about. Familiar things. Familiar situation. They did good for 10 years. They knew the triggers. For 10 years, they knew what would bring them into bondage. For 10 years, they did good. But something happens inside them. Something, they can't take the stress. They can't take the situation. What do? They go on a binge. And they don't just go to the liquor store and buy a bottle. They buy a box. Because they're going to tie it on good. Happens. Just talk to them. Listen, by the way, if ever happens to you, you have not failed. You have not failed. Because if we say that's failure, a person who has told lies before, who tells a white lie, has failed. Right? A man who has dealt with sexual issues who looks at a woman lustfully has failed then. I think grace is bigger than that, don't you? I sure hope so. Now listen, if you go week after week buying box and box after of alcohol, you might have a problem then. You might not be going in the right direction. But I'm just telling you this, sometimes you're going to fail. Why? Because you have flesh to deal with. Listen, you could fail, get stuck in Egypt, because you allow yourself to get stuck in Egypt. If you fail, the enemy will come, look at you, liar, liar, pants on fire. You are nothing but a hypocrite. Condemn you. Listen, how do you know when the devil's lying? His mouth's moving, right? Don't listen to the lies, right? Remember, his native tongue is lies. If you fail to humble yourself, if you mess up, if you fail to be humble and transparent with somebody, pick someone to be transparent with and move forward in confidence, listen, you'll get stuck because what you want to do is hide your sin. You'll hide how you failed. And man, I've done so good. I don't want anyone to find out how I failed. Listen, that's bondage right there. You are setting yourself up for failure. Don't do that. It can be something as simple. I get a bad attitude. Man, I get negative. Or you know what? Tell someone, hey, listen, I struggle with this. And will you pray with me? Or sometimes it's just you get it off your chest and it's just the best thing to do. But see, we got so much religion, we won't do that. We got so much religion, we just clothe ourselves and then pretend like it's okay. Well, Jesus, he forgives me. Yeah, he forgets you, dummy, but you're not free. Galatians 5, going on down the verses. Look, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You'll not gratify the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So these are contrary to one another. So yet do the things that you wish. Flesh wants Egypt. Jesus said, if you've been set free, you can live according to the Spirit. Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt. They couldn't get past Egypt. Church, we can. Jesus has set us free. Verses 18 and 21. You have a choice. You can live according to the Spirit or you can live according to the flesh. You've been set free. You can do one or the other. And you have to recognize that. You're not compelled. You're not forced. You're not made. You choose. Which one are you going to choose? You've been set free to choose. I set before you today life and death. You remember the Old Testament words? Choose life that you may live. Jesus has set you free. He lays before you two paths. One is the flesh, one is the Spirit. Which one are you going to take? Some days you take one and then you veer off into the other one. You ever done that before? Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That means this, there's a whole bunch of more to go. I'm just running out of space to write it. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice those things. Not those who mess up, but those who practice those things. When you veer off and you're going the wrong way, just get off that path. Get away from heading to Egypt and head back towards the promised land. True spiritual freedom will facilitate spiritual transformation. Galatians 5:22, here's the difference. Life in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, or gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, and that's a walk of freedom. Are you living free? Are you living free? How do I know I'm living free? Very easy. A lack of spiritual fruit or an abundance of spiritual fruit. A lack of the flesh or an abundance of the flesh. Give you another one. Third, more religion or less religion. If you've been in church long enough, you know how to hide the flesh. If you've been in church long enough, you know how to hide the flesh. We know how to have an appearance of freedom when we are dealing with oppression. This is what I always look for, humility. Humility. It's one of the greatest attributes we find in the spirit life. You know why? Because Jesus was humble. Look at Moses, the most humble man ever. See, if we really want to look for true spiritual growth, if we really want to find freedom, look for a humble heart. If you want to find the opposite, look for a prideful heart. Look for an arrogant heart. See, religion can never facilitate spiritual growth. Religion will allow you to be prideful. Religion will allow you to be arrogant before God. Freedom is, again, how much closer can I get to Jesus? How much closer can I get? How much closer can I get in my heart, my thinking, my attitude, my behaviors towards Jesus? That's freedom. That is the freedom that allows the Holy Spirit to change us. I need to stop there. Listen, our transformation is hindered most by our flesh. But Paul talks about putting off the flesh. We have the ability. We have the freedom to put off the flesh. If you're born again, you have the freedom to put off the old man and to put on the new man. We'll give you a couple, and I'm closing this. To shut your mouth. You have the freedom to keep your parts to yourself. You have the freedom to take a substance or not to take a substance. To deal with pain. And I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm not talking about medication that the doctor has prescribed you. I'm talking about medicating yourself legally or illegally with pain, with trauma, with stress. You have the freedom to choose one or the other. You're free to not get involved in drama. You are free not to post all your junk, all your thoughts. If you embrace that, that'll be liberating. You have the freedom to have a positive attitude. You have the freedom to read your Bible. You have the freedom to worship. You have the freedom to pray. You have a freedom to praise God. You have a freedom to ask for forgiveness. You have a freedom to ask for encouragement. You have a freedom to receive encouragement. You have a freedom to be transparent. You have a freedom to be more like Jesus. Are you living free? Are you living free? I feel with all of my heart, the Holy Spirit is challenging me and He's challenging this church to live free. And here's why, church. This is the reason. It has everything to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. If we're really going to reach our community, the veil of religion has to come down and people have to find true freedom. Because if not, if we just religion the issues, we're making them twice as much as a son of hell as we are. Did we not hear what Jesus said in those words? We can't just put you can't just put lipstick on a pig. You can't do that. They have to have a change. It has to be a changed life. So in order for us to facilitate freedom, we ourselves have to be free. Are you free?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.